And we are ready. Okie dokie.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rhonda Reese, and I'm in charge of Rhonda Reese Public Relations Company, an award-winning firm. And you are listening to the spectacular, awesome, wonderful, terrific, one-of-a-kind comic pop library.
Guess I'm in an all-out war with the Kanagi family now. Could be fun. Ayano is the smoldering heiress of the Kanagi family, an ancient clan of fire wielders that banishes anyone who can't take the heat. But now, one of their cast-offs has returned and changed man. When a mysterious outbreak of powered-up web junkies threatens to destroy Tokyo, wind and fire must join forces. The life Kazuma left behind has found him, bringing with it pandemonium. Can Ayano's burning spirit cut through the darkness and release the storm within? Kaze no Stigma.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Gets Animated, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Logan.
And in today's episode, we are going to be looking at Kaze no Stigma, the complete series. It is a save edition from Funimation, and save means super amazing value edition. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. Kazuma is a contractor of the wind, a cool customer with the power to unleash a whirlwind of terror on his enemies. Ayano is a smoking hot mistress of the fire arts who's got a nasty habit of dialing up the heat in the thick of battle. To say they don't get along would be an understatement, but fire and wind are about to get a crash course in teamwork. A sinister website known as Pandemonium is unleashing powered up magic junkies and soul devouring demons in the unsuspecting citizens of Tokyo. To save the world and lock down the realm of magic once and for all, Kazuma and Ayano must join forces in this red hot enemy. This is one that has 24 episodes that is in the complete series, and it is just a one-shot series.
Sadly, the creator died, so...
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, you can see that it's got stuff unended, not actually completely finished up. It ends passably, but there could be more.
Okay.
Though apparently there's also more volumes of side stories that never got adapted to anime.
True. Those could be more... of a fan-based type system, but we do know that this was originally done by light novels.
Yeah.
That's how it came out first, and in Japan, that's basically like a paperback book. And they came out in the early 2000s, and 2002, it looks like 2007. There are 11 bound volumes, so that's not too bad.
Six main and five... omnibuses things. Short story compilation.
So that's not too bad. The manga didn't last too long. It only lasted for about a year. It only has two bound volumes, but I don't think you can find any of these in the North American market, though. Because I know the manga is not available, to my knowledge. Light novels, I'm not sure. It's not mentioned anywhere that they are. So if you want to get more backstory, and you can read Japan. This is going to be hard with my allergies. If you want to get more of a backstory and you can read Japanese, you might try to check out the light novels and mangas. But the save edition of Kaze no Stigma, it is dubbed or subbed. You can choose your style of watching. We usually go with the subbed edition because it's just easier to watch.
Dubbed, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Subbed is the subtitles.
My bad. Yes, I got that backwards. So we're a little lazy, so we watch the dubbed versions. And I know sometimes that does change the translations a little bit. And
sometimes it's considered that subbed versions are better in some way or another.
True. Well, they probably stick a little bit closer to the original story outline or something. I'm not sure, but we watch them dubbed. Like I said, I'm a lazy guy. I think we've watched some in subs because that's the only way they come.
Yeah, but that's generally the live action movies that do that.
And some of the animes that have come that way too from some of the companies if they don't want to spend the money to hire some of the actors to do the voicing.
I'm not recalling that happening.
The three movies for Mobile Suit Gundam. was only a Japanese sub, and we watched it that way. And there was a few others, but it's been a while since we've done that.
Was the Slayers movie one of them?
Might have been. But sometimes you go back and watch the sub edition.
Very rarely, because I actually have to think to watch it. I generally like watching stuff with other people. So
There you go. So, yes, we're lazy, and we like to watch with other people. And since we can't speak Japanese, and I have to get on binoculars to see the screen when it's in sub. But you can watch it however you enjoy your anime. What did you think about the show in general, Logan, to start us off with?
Pretty good, I thought. The Rin's arc was pretty good, too. The one with the Earth Mages, that one.
Okay. And
they actually got video games as the style for the final arc. True. Which is what the trailer was talking about. The trailer kind of mentioned the first and last arcs, but didn't actually speak of anything in between them.
Well, and this one, to me, in general, it didn't take itself too seriously. It had fun, but it wasn't a comedy, because it did have its serious moments, especially the last arc was pretty serious indeed.
Yeah.
But it had some fun episodes. The banter between the lead characters, Kazuma and Ayano, I thought was great. I enjoyed it.
And Kazuma and most of the other characters, too.
Right. They did good voice actors. We have some of the actors. We'll go through them. The three main actors, we'll get into those, is you've already mentioned Rin. That is actually probably the third primary actor. Yeah. Probably the top two would be Kazuma Yagami, who is actually Kazuma Kanagi.
Yeah, but he got banned. Well, actually, I think his name might just sort of...
No, he changed it. He changed it when he got banished from
the family. Yeah, because Genma is indeed named Kanagi.
Right.
So, yeah.
Because he was supposed to be a fire... And this is a magical world where they use fire elements, wind elements, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But he's supposed to be a fire welder.
Wielder.
But he can't do it, evidently.
Yep. He had to get banished from the clan, and then stuff happened, which you don't see until the last arc.
Right.
When he comes back, there's a wind element user.
Right. He becomes a wind element user, and he's a contractor.
Yeah, which is
different. Special. It's not just a wind user. Because
they've got wind users already as a subordinate clan to the Kanagi.
Right. And the contractor actually is contracted with, I guess you would say, a demon?
Not sure if it's specifically demon, but the highest representative of the wind spirits.
Spirit demon. That's kind of where I was going. Spirit would probably be more apt. Probably spirit. You're probably right with that. Because
the demon was something completely different and something that was actually sealed away, not contracted with, that was dealing with wind.
Okay.
Of that first art.
And then the second main character is
Ayano Kanagi.
And
she's there.
What's that?
Harris.
Oh, Harris. Right. That's true. And her father is
Jugo.
Is that right. Jugo.
Because Genma is Kazuma and Rin's father.
Right. And Rin is Kazuma's brother.
Yeah.
Of course. He's not as powerful of a fire user, but he does have some pretty good powers. Still pretty good.
Yeah.
Probably besides the head of the family, which is Jugo, Ayana is the next powerful.
Except for maybe Genma. Is that how you got it? Genma might be. Kazuma's father, there's signs that he might be. I'm not sure.
But the reason I said that is because if you go out and watch the trailer or if you watch the series, Ayana can manifest a sword of fire.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what
the sword of fire is called. But I think that's more heirloom than actual technique.
Okay.
Because Genma has the, if I remember correctly, blue god's fire, blue fire.
Okay.
Straight from the get-go, but it actually takes a bit of work, about 5 minutes worth to get Ayano to that level.
Okay.
So I think it's more, there's Jugo, then Genma, then Ayano, then Rin, probably.
Okay.
Going by some of the feats Rin pulls off in his arc.
And Kazuma is one of those, you know, he couldn't do the power. So they banished him, and it was kind of like a Yakuza clan almost. There's like, well, you can't do this. You're not part of the family. You're banished. Mm-hmm. He comes back all powerful with the wind spirit. And
now they're trying to get them set up.
Right, and he's more serious now. He's not a kid. Like I said, it's been 4 years, mm-hmm. so he's matured. But Ayuna is still a kid, still in high school, and she's kind of brass and not really familiar with battle tactics, or she's more of a go out and get them instead of strategy.
Yeah.
So they kind of use, Jugo uses Kazuma in a way because he has to pay him because he can't take him back into the family. So he's in this position where he has to keep it banished, but he can hire Kazuma. And he hires him to become basically Ayuna's bodyguard and trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the clashing of personalities start.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great. I had a fun time with that. She has a couple of friends. One's a sporty type. One's an intellectual type.
And the intellectual one has connections, though I'm not sure how big that was.
True. And then Rin has a couple of his friends that are in there. One's a female that really likes him, but he's kind of like, I'm not interested in you. And then he has a guy that's a friend as well.
And then he also has an actual love interest that also dies. Kazuma's previous one died too, but that happened.
And Rin's love interest, that was, who'd you say that was? Ayumi?
Ayumi, the clone.
She's brought in about 2/3 of the way into the series, probably. That storyline.
Oh, there's the wind seal demon. There's the water takeover. There's the first fairy bit. There's the earth clan bit.
He's recounting this on his fingers in his head, guys.
It's the earth clan bit, so that's it. Around 4 arcs in, and which I think there's
probably
5
about
or 6.
2/3 of the way in.
Yeah.
Probably about that. Mm-hmm. So, and this is one, like you said, she is a clone. Because her sisters, they are part of the Suwabaki family, who is the wind.
Yeah.
Suwabaki?
No, it's not wind, because while wind is a family, they are part of the earth family.
Oh, that's right. That's the earth with the volcano.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
It is Suwabaki, though. Okay. It's, what is the wind family?
I'm not sure. But you're right with the... they basically make a clone of... the head of this household to sacrifice to the volcano.
Not quite.
Wasn't it?
The head of the household actually is not the one they clone. It's the heiress. Though she does pretty much take the head out of the equation.
I was going to say, I thought she was
she's
the head.
She's not quite the head. There's someone that's supposedly the head of the family, but she's pretty much deposed him and sealed him in stone.
So... I'm kind of right.
Yeah.
Not quite right, acting but kind of right.
The acting head.
And this is probably one of the more serious, more in-tone story arcs.
Mm-hmm.
Even though these are probably high middle schoolers, low high schoolers, probably 8th grade freshman level, you would say. And it's kind of an intense, he develops a love for this.
Ayumi, yeah.
Thank you. It's fun, folks, trying to pronounce these. I think even though everything kind of goes right, they kind of save her, she still has the fate of not being able to survive because she's a clone, which has a very accelerated lifespan.
And then they also have to deal with the demon breaking free, too, which...
True, but that was before... they kind of resolve everything. They save her, fight the demon, save the day.
She used enough power that she was 3 seconds from dying anyway.
So. Right, but being a clone, she was going to die faster as well,
true.
The way I understood it. Uh-huh. So it was one of the more serious storylines within it. And they tried to sprinkle in some comedic elements, and that's when you have Kazuma and Ayuna kind of come in and have some of the comedic elements to kind of give it a little bit of a lightheartedness.
Mm-hmm.
The very last story arc, which has the leaders of Pandora, Pandemonium.
Yeah. Video game arc. MMORPG.
Is it truly a video game or not is it just really. Stylized like it?
Stylized.
Okay. Okay. I was going to say, is it? That's not really a video game. But that one was definitely more serious. That is where we get a lot of
backstory for Kazuma.
Right. With his love interest and we deal with another clone.
Yep. So. Though this one, instead of just a normal clone accelerated by fairy stuff that Kazuma was hired to get back, it's actually created out of the darker emotions that were left when the original died. Right.
And I think, let me see if I can find, Lupus is the Lapis, clone. Yeah. Lapis is the clone.
Like the gym.
And Suling is the actual young lady that Kazuma actually liked, and they actually had a relationship where it looked like it was fairly serious.
They might have been married, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, they didn't really say. I don't think they were, but they were in that stage where it was coming.
Just a matter of time.
Right, you know, and she got killed by this pandemonium.
I don't think it was actually pandemonium at first, because pandemonium is what Bernhardt was calling his little game of you all get demon seeds and it's.
See, I was thinking Bernhardt, pandemonium, Bernhardt were one and the same.
Oh, they are, but pandemonium is his project, not his group name.
Okay.
Armagest is the thing.
Okay.
So Erwin Lesthar killed Sweeling, and Bernhardt rode his apprentice, because Erwin got killed by Kazuma, is the one that set up the whole pandemonium.
Okay. Right. So, and this turns a lot darker.
Yeah.
Kazuma basically is so pissed off. He's depressed at first. Mm-hmm. And then through his depression, he goes to a darker place, which makes him angry, and the wind element or spirit. Like I said, this is where I don't know if it's a spirit or a demon, because he went pretty dark. Yeah. And he had to rein himself back in at the end to bring himself back, you could say, to the light. rein in his power so he wouldn't kill the whole shebang. And that's where the darkness, you know, this is, like I said, this was the heaviest part of the series, and it's the very end, so it's apropos. I mean, it's lighthearted, and it gradually gets darker and darker. Mm-hmm. But throughout the whole series, it is basically him and Ayano, can't pronounce her name.
Yeah, Ayano was right, yeah.
Throughout the series, it's him and Ayano building their relationship.
Yeah.
Because at the end, you're left to believe, okay, they're destined to be together eventually.
Maybe.
He says you're led to believe. That's why I said it's not definite.
I saw it more as Kazuma was tolerating and being amused at Jugo and Ginma's matchmaking attempts, but yeah.
Well, they lead you to think that it's actually going to occur eventually. That's where I said, you know, where you said the creator passed away, would he have done a second series and brought this further along? And he just passed away, so he couldn't. It might have
eventually gotten into actual shipping of those two, but
right.
By the time that ended, I'm pretty sure it was still Kazuma just...
Well, it was the banter between them, because she would always get upset with him, and he would get upset with her. Mm-hmm. And that's a classic trope in most of the shows where the two leads clash, and it's the funny part, but then at the end they get together, and that's the end of the series, because you have nowhere else left to go. Because there's been several TV series that the leads will clash and clash, but as soon as they put them together, the interest is gone.
Huh.
So this is kind of where this story is leading to. That's one way you can take it. And if he would have, he or she, I don't know who, what was the original creator's name? I don't know if the original creator, who is Takahiro Yamato. Stereo, folks.
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe that might have been the intention eventually, but you were kind of left open-ended. So it could go either way. It could go your way, Logan, where it's just like they're tolerating each other. They become close friends.
Okay.
Or they could develop a relationship.
Ayano has a fair bit of a crush on him, yeah. So does the gal that got brought in as her rival. There's at least six steps in, but
I cannot
remember her name, but basically the English fire lady.
Oh, I can't remember her name. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Catherine McDonald.
There you go. True. But I don't think that was going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Kazuma was all basically using her to make Ayano jealous and make her more interested in trying to be more powerful and develop her skills is how that was played with him. So, so yeah, he's a little bit manipulative, just like his family is in general. Mm-hmm. He just can't be an official part of the family, which might lead more to your possibility they could become close friends, because if he's banished, would they even let him marry back in?
Well, Genma and the other guy, Juho, they're definitely trying for it, so.
Well, definitely, I don't know about Genma as much. That's Kazuma's father. Juho. But Juho, yeah.
I think Genma was too, but yeah.
At the end, father and son kind of got a little bit more respect for each other.
Yeah.
They were fighting quite a bit.
Episode.
They meet each other in hot springs and they start battling.
Yeah. For whatever reason, they just have fun doing it.
Yep.
And also still kind of want to kill each other, but yeah, they have fun.
That father-son relationship, isn't it so endearing? So with this show, you have all the different dynamics. You have the father-son relationship. You have the cousins relationship, because Ayano and Kazuma are cousins.
Yeah, I think it might be actually second cousin or whatever.
Yeah.
Sons and daughters of people who are cousins to each other.
Yep.
So there's at least a bit more of separation than literal cousins, but so yeah, still pretty close.
No, they're cousins, though, technically. Kissing cousins, you never know. that does happen sometimes in the anime. Especially with arranged marriages back in the day. I mean, it was usually cousins or
Though whatnot. It seemed like it was also a bit of an age gap in this one, too, because he was already working at a restaurant and seemed to be...
I would say he was probably around 19, 20. She was probably 16.
Yeah, that sounds right-ish. Yeah.
So there is that. And it is rated a TV 14, which I think suits it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little bit of fan service, just like any anime. There's not very much. It's pretty much fairly tame, to my standards, I guess. Some other people might watch it and say, oh my gosh! But I think TV 14 places it pretty well. 14 and up, they would get into it, I think. Yeah. Plus, being a single volume, this would be a nice one to purchase and slide into your collection. We're going to jump into some of our tweets that we've gotten this last go around. If you're interested in getting in touch with us, you can tweet us at our Twitter account, which is Comic Pop Library. You can like us on Facebook and send us some messages through the Facebook account, which is Comic Pop Library. You can also email us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. With everything we get, we try to read it on the air just to kind of a thank you back to the people that wrote in. This go around, we got a couple of tweets. One of them was from... the first tweet that we have is from Deadbeats, and that is spelled D-E-D-B-T-Z, and they just wanted to thank Comic Pop Library for the mention and that they really appreciate it, because we spotlighted one of their songs, Planes in the Sky, and we enjoyed their music. The other tweet is from Michael Colton, and he just wanted to say thanks for sharing my music, and we spotlighted one of his singles called Baby Blue. We appreciate the Deadbeats and Michael Colton for sending us their music so we can listen to and share with all of our listeners out there. So again, if you're interested in sending us some tweets, Facebook messages, or through email, be sure to send it our way. We'll read it on one of the recordings. You can also find us on iTunes. You know, give us a good review there and help us out a little bit. It'd be appreciated. And just spread the word to everybody. If you like us, let them know about us.
Yeah.
But back to Cousin No Stigma. This is one that is a complete series. It's a thin case, so it's 4 discs long, if I remember right. Let me check real fast. You hear me opening it? Yes, 4 discs long.
To be fair, I think pretty much all of Save's cases are for, well, at least thin case.
They're thin cased, yes. Yeah. But some of them might be a little longer. But this one is 4 discs long. You get the whole series. Mm-hmm. So it's complete. You don't have to worry about
it. It's not going to get any add-ons in a dozen years because the creator's dead. So
true.
This is the whole series. So, unless they try to adapt the side stories.
That's true. They can never say never because a company could try to do something like that. That is true. But this is one for a personal collection. I think anybody would probably get into this if they like the fantasy, magic, elementals type stuff. Mm-hmm. Public library. I think it'd be fine in any size library, not a problem. And since it's a Save edition, it is cheaper now because it has been out for a while. That's why they put it into a Save edition. And usually those start out with being at least half of what the original price was when they first came out, because the Save editions usually come out like about 5-6 years after the originals come out. It's just another way for them to repackage them, put them at a little bit cheaper price point so fans can go back and pick up some of the interesting and more fun anime series that they might have missed. And this is one that I think is one that could have been missed, and it's a good show. I enjoyed it. What about you? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
So this is one. Pick it up. You'll have fun with it. I forgot to mention that it is by Gonzo. Most of the anime fans will recognize Gonzo as the production company, and Funimation is the distributor for the Save edition. That's going to do it for us this time around. We've been having fun discussing Kazuno Stigma. Mm-hmm. We hope you've been having fun listening to us. We'll see everybody on the flip side. Bye, everybody.
Eyes as blue as the azure sky. That is the symbol of the contractor, entrusted by the spirit king of the wind with the powers of his domain. I bear this mark, the stigma of the wind.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.